Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in.
Welcome back to Family Guidons. We are so glad you joined us today, whether it's from your kitchen or your car. We just want you to know that you don't have to do military life alone. My name is Kathy Bridgers. I supported my husband, Scott, through 7 years of Air Force active duty and then 22 years of South Carolina Air National Guard. That included 9 combat missions. I'm blessed to be the mother of 2 adult children. My daughter, Bailey, has a doctorate in physical therapy, and my son, Austin, is on his 9th year serving in the South Carolina Air National Guard and is currently deployed in the Middle East in support of Epic Fury. And faith, family, and friends is what's gotten me through it all.
Hi, good morning. I am Charlotte Stillwell. I am a military spouse of 31 years. I'm a proud military mom of a first lieutenant currently serving in Fort Stewart. I'm also a Gold Star child.
And I'm Michelle Matheny, military wife of 14 years to my husband, Bill, who is currently deployed. We have 3 young daughters, and in addition to that, I am a small business owner and a huge supporter of our military community. So today, we are talking about the experiences of women who have served, what that service has meant, what it's given to them and their families and their communities, and what challenges still exist in that area. So this episode is timely because Women's Veterans Day is June 12th. And this year marks the 78th anniversary of the Women's Armed Services Integration Act, which allowed women to serve permanently in the military. So to think about how far, you know, women have come in service in the last 75 or 50 or 30 years, you know, we did have a couple of listener messages come in for this, and I wanted to go ahead and read one. This is from Jolynn Kay, who is an Army veteran who served quite a long time ago. And she said, "Nothing in the world prepared me for the humbling experience of being in the Army. I grew strong mentally and physically, along with gaining strong comrades. But as a woman veteran, I felt forgotten and uncelebrated sometimes by people. So when I heard of Women's Veterans Day, I was so pleased." And so I think that really illustrates why we felt like this was an important topic today, because it is not maybe the most common thing you think of when you think of military service, but so many strong women have chosen that path, and we want to honor them. So
today, we are honored to welcome Brigadier General Linda Riddle. She's a South Carolina native and someone whose career is truly defined by service, leadership, and a commitment to others. With more than 30 years in the National Guard, she has served in roles from platoon leader all the way to brigade command. Along the way, she's led and shaped cyber operations and supported missions across the globe. She has deployed to Kuwait, Kosovo, and Iraq. Outside of her military career, General Riddle is an educator, a mentor, and someone who continues to invest in her community and in the development of future leaders. General Riddle brings not just a wealth of experience, but also a personal perspective shaped by decades of service and military family life. Her husband of 30 years is Glenn. They have 2 children, one of which currently serves in the South Carolina National Guard. General Riddle, we are grateful and so thankful to have you with us today, and we're really looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, good morning. Thanks so much for having me today.
Welcome.
Welcome.
So we will jump right in. I mean, we want to hear, you know, all about your story, because I think hopefully, you know, that will reflect kind of the same story of other female veterans, or they may see some of themselves in you. A little fun fact, we have a slightly interesting connection through my husband and your hometown. You yes. grew up in Barnwell, South Carolina, right?
Yes. And go Wool Horses.
Right, yeah. And so I learned this interesting fact a few years ago, but that high school has an incredible presence in the military in terms of people who are serving or have served, and, you know, the officers that have come out of there. So growing up in small town South Carolina, mm-hmm. what inspired you to join the military? And did you ever imagine reaching the general officer ranks?
Oh, gosh, absolutely not have would been even my wildest dreams to make the rank of general officer. So, from Barnwell, South Carolina, small town. I was 17 years old when I joined the National Guard. That was in 1988. And really, I was in the JROTC program there. And being in the ROTC program, the opportunity started just talking about college. So about my, you know, junior year, we started talking about college a little bit. And it was Colonel Watson. Colonel Watson was the ROTC commander at that time. And my maiden name is Johnson. So he was like, so, hey, you know, Johnson, what are you going to be doing about school? And I was like, sir, I have no idea. You know, it was just me, my mom, and my two younger brothers. And I knew that I did well in school and loved JROTC. I mean, if you were to look at my uniform from JROTC, you would have thought that I was already a general because, you know, the way they do all the medals and the ranks. Yeah. And, I mean, you're just like, you know, really suited up. And I go back home and I look at that picture now and I just laugh. And but I just remember him talking about the National Guard. And from that moment on, we contacted one of the recruiters, got the information, and the recruiter came to my house and talked to my mom and I about the National Guard. And my mom signed, because at 17 years old, you have to have your parents' mm-hmm. permission. And so she signed for me to join the National Guard. So mainly it was just for educational benefits, really. But man, I just had no idea what an opportunity that would bring just later on down the road. And then from that point, that summer, I went to basic training at Fort Jackson, and that kind of started it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the defining moment in your career where you felt like it changed how you lead other people?
I think, for the most part, I am a people person. I just love being around just people, and that's where I get my energy from. And so it's kind of hard to think about a defining moment, but I will say when I was the battalion commander for the Cyber Battalion, you know, typically when you think about leaders, you think about the person who knows it all, you know, mm-hmm. because they're out front, they know all the answers. Well, I'll tell you, with the Cyber Battalion, I did not know all the answers, you know, and really you're in a battalion where you've got the technical SMEs. I knew my job as a leader, but I did not know what it would take to really lead that group of soldiers on a mission. And that's exactly what we did. So I think just it changed my idea of what I needed to be as a leader. Not always out front, not always knowing all the right answers, but I think just focused on what can I support them with, give them the resources that they need to do their job. And, you know, from that perspective, I think that's just how I lead even today. My job is to be in that room, sit at that table, figure out, okay, what is it that my soldiers need? And I'm here to help support that and make sure that they have what they need to do their job. And if I can do that as a leader, then everybody wins. So I think that was really kind of the big moment for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't have to know it all. You just have to surround yourself with people that do, right?
Yes. Yeah. And exactly. There's some truth to that, yeah. You know? I mean,
my
and that's
says
exactly
that all
right.
The time.
Yes. Yes, definitely, for yeah. sure.
So one of the questions I think we were going to ask was, what would people not understand possibly about leadership? And you may have just answered that question.
Yeah, I think, you know, I work on a college campus and truly it's about developing leaders, right? And really I mean, from being a lieutenant, my first deployment, I mean, I had no idea. When you're in your 20s, you're a brand new lieutenant, you're off, you know, leading others that are much more knowledgeable than you and more seasoned than you are. I think the biggest thing is just knowing your craft, you know. But I think it's also just, like I said before, don't feel like you have to be the one that's always out front knowing all the answers. I think there's some truth to, and soldiers love the idea of, you know, when I had the opportunity to sit down with a young E4 and we were learning some, you know, JavaScript and, you know, some things that I wasn't as familiar with, you know, early on in my career with the Cyber Battalion. But sitting down, I mean, here I am, a lieutenant colonel, and I sit down with an E4, and they get the opportunity to kind of share their knowledge and teach me a little bit. And I tell you, it's a matter of trust, that trust that you build with your soldiers, because as a leader, you're willing to learn and listen. And also, it puts you in an area where they know that I'm the leader. They know that you're the leader. You don't have to point that out all the time. Mm-hmm. But that trust that you build and the camaraderie, it's like, man, we'll fight for each other and we'll go to bat for each other. And they will follow you because of that leadership style and that trust that you have, yeah, that you've built with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It makes a huge difference.
I remember when my husband would introduce people that he was leading, he would say, I work with this guy.
Yes.
He would never say, this guy works for me. And right. I think that just, it always kind of set the, it made it more comfortable conversation. It set you on more of an equal footing. And you could tell they kind of would perk up a little bit when he would introduce them that way, instead of making it seem like,
yeah,
they were working for him.
Because it's about team. I mean, you can't be an effective leader if you're trying to lead by yourself. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You got to have followers. It's teamwork for sure. It's fun.
So there's a lot of positive things with being a female leader. Yeah. Let's talk about, how did you handle deployments? Because it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
For a female, I feel like, than a male, to leave the house, leave your kids.
As a mama.
As a mama.
Right. Yes.
So how did you navigate that?
Well, the first time, so my husband Glenn and I, we've been married 31 years. I've almost forgot about that one. 31 years. And so my first deployment, we didn't have children. It was just us. I was gone for a year. So that made it, honestly, a little bit easier. The second deployment, our kids were 3 and 6.
Wow.
And that was the first time that, you know, I'd been gone for drills and ATs, and so he got a little bit, a taste of what that was like. The first time I left, you know, Madison, our firstborn, I think she was just a couple of weeks old, because I had to go away for, you know, some training for AT. And so he was home during that time, but his mom came and helped out. But that deployment, I just remember, yeah, it was going to be the first time that I was actually going to be gone for a year, and the kids were really young. And I think my biggest concern was, oh my gosh, is he going to know how to do Madison's hair? You know, right. You know, what is she going to go to school looking like? You know, are they just going to eat McDonald's all the time? Yeah. You know, so I think just your normal concerns as one, a parent, but I think especially as a mom, because typically I did the grocery shopping and things like that. But amazingly, what I realized is that once you step out of the picture and you allow your spouse to do their job, and they realize that, okay, we can do this. And I was pleasantly surprised that I would get on, you know, FaceTime with them, and Madison's hair looked great, you know, and there was, you know, dinner on the table.
Success.
And yes. But I think it just kind of, it eased my concern that my husband's got this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I did set up meals, though. You know, you could do your home chef or whatever the meals are. And I just remember, maybe it wasn't during that time, maybe it was another deployment, but I do remember before, if I knew I was going on deployment, I would make sure that there was some way to set up some meals to kind of help out. Friends were always there. I mean, you ladies know you've kind of been on the tail end of that. It's the same way. And Glenn will tell you, I mean, if he was here, he would say, yep, it was crazy. And I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. Yeah. But he really, really did an awesome job. And I think because of that, it has built so much trust and support within our family mm-hmm. that I don't get too concerned about leaving home or what it's going to look like, because we've been there before. We've done this. It doesn't get easier. Yeah. You know, it's still hard. But I think those insecurities and guilt, honestly, the guilt feeling sometimes I would feel as a mom, because you always have other people coming to you go, I don't see how you do this. Mm-hmm. I don't see how you can do this, you know. And I said, well, it takes a lot of support. It takes a husband who believes in you and supports you. And I mean, it's been 30 years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, and I think it's, you know, you hear that on both sides, right? Like, this, it's hard for the service member to leave. It's hard for the spouse at home. And it's interesting when the gender roles are reversed.
Yes.
But I have to imagine, too, it was, you know, hopefully nice for him and maybe for their relationship. Like, the father, you know, child relationship, I'm sure, changes in that time when they're the primary.
Yes.
The
yes.
everything parent, you know.
Yeah. And it brings the kids closer, you know? I mean, even when I was deployed to Kuwait, it's funny because I would still look at the grays through Power School and things like that. And if they needed something, I'm like, your dad's right there. I'm in Kuwait, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just that role that you play as a mom that just doesn't go away no matter what part of the earth you're on, you know. Yeah. But I love their relationships.
Yeah. So I think, you know, speaking of some of those unique challenges and, you know, just kind of what we've already talked about, but do you feel like there are different or better ways that leaders can support or mentor female service members through their careers?
I've had a lot of mentors over my time, of course, in service. No, a majority of them, if not all of them, now that I think about it, have been men. And so I think no. I mean, there is no difference in mentoring a woman versus mentoring a man or anything like that. You know, I may have females that I mentor now that ask me specific questions because I am a woman, because I am a mom. But I think on the flip side of that, I think mentoring is mentoring. Mm-hmm. And most people are looking for an opportunity to just kind of ask the question, how do I get to where you're at?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, if they're a woman and they're a mom with kids, how do you do that balance? I think it's just those questions. I was just at Fort Gordon. I told you ladies, I just came from Fort Gordon today. But as I was walking through the hall, getting ready to leave out one of the buildings, there was a private first class and a specialist that was there. Both guys, and they were like, ma'am, can we ask you a question? How do we get to where you're at? You know, and I thought, wow, that is such a bold question to ask from a private, you know, and a specialist. But I love that because they didn't look at me as and say, oh, she's a woman. You know, I can't ask that question. Mm-hmm. I need to. Soldiers don't look at it in that way. Yeah. And so I think mentoring is mentoring. Whether you're a man, woman, we're all looking for ways to grow and develop as leaders, you know. Yeah.
I do have to think, though, that, like, it must be reassuring or comforting or helpful to females coming up now, you know, to see a woman that has earned the position that you've earned and think like, okay,
she did it.
Yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. I get surprised and happy whenever I see a, you know, 2-star female general, 3-star. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that little bit of oomph, you know.
Go, girl.
Yes, you know. You know, I just think it's awesome because it's been a long journey. Yeah. And so, yeah, you do get happy and encouraged when you see that there is a path forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's interesting in doing some of the reading to prepare. I like hearing you say that, just because one of the things that I saw was a little pushback from some female veterans saying, we're just veterans.
Yeah.
We face the same issues that men face. So, I like seeing that you've echoed that.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment where you doubted yourself, and what pushed you forward?
Oh my gosh. They call it the imposter syndrome or whatever it is. I think there are moments that I have doubted myself. I think even going through becoming an officer, you know, switching from, so I started off enlisted. I was enlisted for 6 years, started off as a PFC through the ROTC program, JROTC. And just going to PMA, Officer Candidate School here through the state, I mean, that those times got really hard because it was like basic training leveled up again. You know, I'm like, what in the world? And I wondered at 4 feet 11, you know, I haven't grown much since then. So I feel like I'm about 6 feet, but really, there are times I doubted whether or not I could really get through some of the ruck marches or some of the mental challenges. And I think the thing that pushed me forward is just remembering my end goal. You know, what is it that I want out of this? And I think also saying yes to the hard challenges and just I don't know. I mean, there are some jobs that I've had where I didn't want to have those jobs, you know, but I think just saying yes, even to those things, seeking out mentors, people who have done it before. And I think just having a great support system. I'm a big believer in, okay, I haven't done this before. Who has? And I look. And I'm not afraid to ask questions. I don't feel too like it's too above me to seek opportunities and to seek help and support. But I also know that when I'm leading, I'm leading. I am up front. I am leading, you know, so I don't it's okay, you know. But I think just pushing through, you know, those are times when I'm doubtful or feeling like there's a gap in my knowledge, especially with, you know, technology right now, with AI and quantum and, you know, all those things that are out there that can be a little bit intimidating. It's like, whew, okay, I just need to, I need to dig in. And that's just my go-to. If I don't know, I dig in. I ask questions and I just remember what my end goal is. And based on my faith, it gets me through.
Yeah.
Grounded in my faith, it definitely gets me through.
Well, looking over your, you know, your CV, you have done a ton of things, and having served for so long, can you, you know, there's obviously going to be a next chapter at some point, but like, you know, you have continued to serve, you know, what advice could you offer to anyone, you know, male or female, if they're debating whether they continue or whether they retire, like what advice would you give them?
Actually, I went through a point of that in my career. I've had a 6-year break in service, and I think through that period of time, it was just kind of figuring out family life a little bit, and you know, what was best for my family, and at the time, it was best for my family for that break. And then just decided to get back into the National Guard after about 6 years of being out. The advice I would give is, you know, whether I'm going to a next rank, whether we're trying to figure out what it looks like for our family, we always make decisions as a family.
Yeah.
Even with my kids now, with my daughter being in the National Guard, my son actually is going to join as well.
Oh, wow.
So we're super excited about that. But we make decisions as a family, and we try to figure out, okay, where are we going? Is this going to be the best next chapter? And we lay it out. You know, mom has the opportunity to get promoted before I became a general officer. That's going to mean a lot of on the road. This is what's going to, you know, it's going to look a little different. Are you okay with that? How do you feel about that? And everybody was okay with it. And so I would say the advice would be to, one, family first, you know, having that support. Mm-hmm. And two, just figuring out that, I don't know, it does get very lonely. Mm-hmm. It gets hard. When it gets to that point, you've got to take a step back and breathe. You know, if I had to look back and tell my younger self of, you know, looking forward, what would this look like? I would say, Linda, just breathe. Mm-hmm. Just relax. It's going to be okay. And even now, as I'm looking at what that next step would be, as it gets a lot of time on the road, I call it windshield time, you know, my mobile office in the car. I, you know, tell soldiers just all the time, one step at a time. Yeah. Stay focused. Stay dedicated. Control the things that you can control. You can control your professional education. You know, your military education. Figure out what you need. Your civilian education. Figure out where you're going next. Your physical fitness. You know, you control that. I control that. Whether the unit is doing PT or not, I know that I need to get up and do PT. You know. And so you control the things that you can control so that when those opportunities come your way, nobody can close the door on you.
Yeah, I love
that. Nobody can close the door on you because
you're ready.
It's really smart.
You're ready.
Yeah.
Right? Always ready.
That's all the boxes.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Not looking too far ahead. I think just in life in general, that's great advice. Oh, Take it one step at a time.
One step at a time. Because if not, you get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed. Definitely. And I'm like, ooh, okay, take a step back. Breathe, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you've talked about your mentors along the way and how you and gave some good advice to people who are in the military and want to advance. I'm curious, looking back over your career, if you do a quick scan, mm-hmm. is there one story that you can share that really stands out to you?
I guess this story is kind of early on in my career, and if you've heard me at any of my promotions or anything like that, probably you've kind of heard me tell this story before, but it's the story of determination. During PMA, and we talked about PMA, the Pullman Military Academy, a little bit, but going through PMA, like I said, it was really hard because I just kind of doubted sometimes if I was actually going to make it through PMA. But I remember, you know, there were times. So General Jones, the Deputy Adjutant General, was the TAC officer during my PMA Class 46. And I remember, you know, during PMA, there's always stuff. And so someone, I had troubles with pull-ups. And so during that time, every time we would go through the chow line, you would have to go on the pull-up bar. And so because I was having trouble with pull-ups, they bought a broomstick. So they would hold up a broomstick, and that would be my way to do pull-ups, you know, and I would just have to tiptoe and go, one, sir, two, sir, three, sir. And I remember doing one of those times, it was just kind of crazy, and the TAC officers were all around me, and oh my gosh, a tear started going down my eye. And I could almost kind of kick myself for letting that tear drop. You know how it is.
Yeah.
It was more out of anger frustration. Yeah. But man, when the TAC officer saw that tear coming down my eye, I would say about three of them surrounded me. And Colonel Feaster was one. I'm name dropping now.
Yeah.
So, but I remember him because he was big, you know, and he was like, "What's that coming out of your eye? What's that coming out of your eye?" And I said, "Determination, sir." And you know, because I said that, they all backed away.
Yeah.
And they left me alone.
Wow.
At least for that time period. Yeah. But I think because that, I not only said that to them, but it was for myself as well, but that's my story. So honestly, anytime I feel like I'm feeling a little frustrated or feeling like this is hard, whether I'm going through, you know, whatever type of physical training or even mental, even going through Army War College at National Defense University, that was a little challenging mentally. But I think it's that determination that gets us through, whether it's military, civilian, whatever it mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. for me and during that time. But I will always hold on to that story. I will always tell that story because I think it was definitely a turning point in my career. Mm-hmm. And just for me as a person to decide and stand up and say, it's determination and I'm going to get through this.
Yeah.
And that has helped me through.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, thinking about I've got three little girls at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, they see the example of service, obviously, from their dad. But we also have a lot of friends, you know, in the military. And he is wonderful at trying to expose them to opportunities for them. You know, they see mostly males.
Yes.
But a couple weeks ago now, he was traveling in theater and hopped on a C-130 to get from one place to another. And the flight crew, the pilot and the co-pilot, were female.
Awesome.
And he had a chance to visit the cockpit and to speak to them for a minute and then took a picture with them afterwards and sent it home to me. And he was like, you got to show the girls this. Like,
wow.
You know, these ladies are flying this big plane. And interestingly enough, one of the pilots, her mother flew the exact same.
Oh my
also
gosh.
Flew C-130s. Wow. So wow. Like she's carrying on that family legacy. But to see that those legacies beginning for females is so cool to me as a mom of females.
Yes.
Of little girls. So what advice, I guess to kind of, you know, wrap this up, what advice would you give to young women who are considering military service?
I would say don't give up. I mean, I think that's the biggest advice I would give is sometimes you may not see it, but that doesn't mean that it's not for you.
Yeah.
Don't give up on your dream. If you want to do something, go for it. And if you're struggling with it, that also is not a reason to give up on it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes
that's
you
life
struggle.
In general.
Yes.
Yeah. I say that all the time to my oldest.
Oh my gosh. That's math is hard.
Right.
that you know? Forged in fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's find a way. I mean, if it's truly your dream and if it's what you want to do, find a way because I guarantee you can do it. It may not, and I even, you know, my path did not look like everybody else's path. Your path doesn't have to look like someone else's path to get to where you want to go. But if you want to go, don't give up. Find those avenues of approach. And go for it. That's what I say. Just go for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Find a good mentor.
There you go.
We're out there.
Good advice.
Well, we do have a couple of letters that we wanted to finish up with, you know, from other female service members. You know, we appreciate you having you here and telling your story, but just to bring in a couple other perspectives of experience. So
this one is from Lieutenant Colonel. Her name is Rachel. She said, service is ingrained in my family. I'm the fourth generation military, third generation Air Force leader in my family. So the idea of service was not foreign to me. However, I am the first woman and mother to serve. I am also the first woman in my husband's family to serve. We both are airmen, and this service has meant a lot of sacrifice for not only us but our three children. We've had a lot of missed birthdays, holidays, vacations, and other moments that we will never get back. But with that, our family has created an appreciation of the time that we do spend together. We do not need a special reason to take a trip or to celebrate. We do it whenever we can, and we appreciate our time as a family because we never know when something can change. My mom used to tell me, today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. I try to appreciate every single day and moment as they come. I am so thankful I can continue to serve as a member of the SCANG after 21 years of dedicated service. My service has taught me appreciation at every turn, and I'm so thankful I have had the opportunity to serve our great country. Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah. Ooh, and a dual service military family in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful.
So the next letter is from Amanda, who is a major in the Army Guard. Serving in the military has shaped a part of who I am, not just the uniform I wear, but the strength, resilience, and purpose that still guide me today. As a woman in service, I learned early that every victory sometimes comes with unseen battles. Proving myself in male-dominated spaces, balancing duty with sacrifice, and holding steady when doubt tried to creep in. I was always big into sports through college, and the military gave me a piece of team and belonging that I craved after I graduated. The challenges I faced also carried tremendous rewards. The military gave me another family to push forward with together, who understands the unspoken weight and pride that come with service. It has given me lifelong skills, educational opportunities, and the confidence to keep building a life of impact. That impact is never more apparent than when stepping up in times of need. Being called up on state active duty to respond to real-world scenarios right in my hometown and provide assistance to local areas has been one of the most meaningful aspects of my career. There is a unique and profound pride in being able to be on the ground and directly serve and protect the communities we call home. Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah, awesome. So thank you to those ladies for writing in, and thank you to you for being here today and sharing your story.
You're welcome.
And so if you are a female veteran, your story matters, and we want to hear it. So please, you know, write in, tell us about your time in service and what it's meant to you. And, you know, we'd love to keep sharing those stories.
And we've put together a list of resources for female veterans, and those will be available under the podcast.
Okay, so if you've enjoyed today's podcast, we would love for you to hit that follow button on your favorite podcast platform. Even better, please share this with another military family. Our next episode is titled Stars, Stripes, and Service, where we will talk about patriotism and volunteerism from a military perspective in light of our nation's 250th birthday. And as always, thank you for listening to Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina, to wherever you may be. Until next time.